Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
May I just say to you, Crossroads, you have a true pastor. That means you're a blessed people. I'm honored to be with you. God's presence is here. So you'll just have to forgive me. I want to thank you ahead of time for not live streaming today. I want to thank you that nobody else can see what's about to happen except you. Amen. Amen. That means we don't need to stand on ceremony. Somebody might be disappointed that there's not live streaming, but it won't be me. That means I can dab my eyes every single time I need to. How many of you know what I'm saying? How many of you know that means we can be family today because nobody's looking in? Come on now. This is just us right here. Oh, no. You, Lord Jesus. Okay. If you just have to. Someone's got their phone pointed at me. That means I might have to behave. Wow. Crossroads Church. I'm just telling you. There's a word written over this place. I didn't write it. Pastor Joseph didn't write it. God did. From the beginning, there was a word written over this place. While I was worshiping, I just reached up and I said, God, whatever you wrote over this place before time, I'm bringing it in. That's what I'm contending for, Joe. Joe and Karen, I'm so glad to see you. That's what I'm contending for. You don't want just what I could bring. You want what's been written down before time. Because that means you and I can't cancel it out. That means it doesn't depend all upon you. How about that? How many of you are hoping that I've got something better to say than how I look today? I'd just like to ask. I better have something bigger to say than what I'm wearing, huh? I'm here to speak to you as the big people that you are. I'm here to speak to what's written over you and over this place. This morning, the Lord said to me, Nancy, tell them three words. As I open, I have many more, right? Three words, faith. Oh, let me back up. These are the three words. Abraham begat Isaac. Three words. Abraham means faith. Isaac means laughter. Faith begets laughter. He told me to release Pastor Joseph that great joy is coming to this house. Big laughter. Listen to me carefully. To laugh in the face of danger. Come on now, I'm here to help get you ready. Faith begets laughter. There is a season for tears, and then there is a season for joy. And how many of you know that the joy of the Lord is my... Somebody has been reading their Bible. What do you know about that? Faith begets laughter. I can see to the other side, Crossroads, and you make it. I'm just going to tell you now, you can just start to settle down in your spirit. You can start to settle down in the things that are trying to worry you and trying to stir you up in absolute confusion and strife. I'm here to tell you, Abraham begat Isaac. Faith begets laughter. And you are about to break out in laughter that is not produced by human comedy, but by the presence of the living God. Because once you see Him and the enemy comes whispering to you, you will break out in absolute laughter. Absolute spirit-induced laughter. You will throw your head back. Not because you are reckless and you don't actually see what's coming, but because you see it coming. But you have seen God, and the danger or the difficulty or the sacrifice or whatever it is that this magnificent future that is on this church is going to require, God is going to be bigger in your eyes than anything that's coming. Amen? He is about to reveal Himself in new ways. Revelation 1, I shared this with your magnificent leaders. The God who was, the God who is. This is how it reads in Revelation 1 out of the Message Bible. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is about to arrive. And I'm here to tell you, I'm just a simple messenger. I'm just a messenger. He's about to arrive at crossroads in ways that you've never seen. Because you have a pastor who has said to the Lord, you can come the way you want. That first song that you sang, I was like, watch out, people. The worship team will get you saying things that you like. Oh, Lord, your will, your way. I'm like, duck and roll, people. Come on. Let's duck and roll. I'm even like, whoa. Wait a minute, right? Because we don't run this God who is our God, do we? Oh, no. Three core truths of my life that I live by. I've been with Him for 31 years. I'm growing more dependent upon Him every day, every moment. Number one core truth of my life, His love for me is unbridled. I don't control the love that He has for me. I can't be good enough to make Him love me more. I can't be bad enough to make Him love me less. Before His love excited me, it frustrated me because I was used to working people. Probably nobody in here knows what I'm talking about. I was used to running people, manipulating people, controlling people. Do I have anybody here? Because I always say this, is I'm going to be pulling the bus around for everybody to get on. Honk, honk, the bus is here. I'm trying to see who's going to get on the bus with me today and tell the truth about yourself. Come on. This is it, is that I'm going to be pulling this bus around for the next few minutes. I'll be like, honk, honk, anybody need to get on? Anybody need to get on? I used to work people, manipulate people. And then I met God. I met Him. And I found out I could not work Him. My stuff did not work on God. Frustrated me. People were like, oh, Nancy, it's so exciting. You're saved. It's going to be so wonderful. I was like, oh, shut up. Nobody? Honk, honk. I'm going to find somebody. I don't want to go on this bus ride by myself, right? Right? I was like, really? I don't know what to do with this kind of love. I don't know what to do with Him. So guess what? He just broke me down. Guess what I had to do? I just had to receive it. How many of you know that's a work in and of itself, just to receive the love of God? Just receive Him. Like, I'm going to let You love me, God. I am going to stand here and let You love me. And everything within you just shakes. Second core truth is His loyalty to me is unexplainable. I cannot figure out how it is that He is so loyal to me who has been so disloyal. He's magnificent. And number three, we're going to launch from here. Number three. Let me go back. Number one, His love for me is unbridled. I don't control it. Number two, His loyalty to me is unexplainable. And number three, His writings over me are undisturbed. He wrote something over you. And they are held in reserve by the perfection of Jesus Christ. This is why I can tell you Plan A is still on. Title of my message today, Plan A is still on. How many of you know you're not big enough to erase the word that God wrote over you before the foundations of the world? But some of you here, I'm suspecting that somebody here is trying to settle for Plan B, Plan D, Plan F, Plan Z. Some of you are just so darn glad to be saved that you're settling for just some kind of plan for whatever it is that, you know, God, I know I messed up so bad, so I can't imagine how you could use somebody like me. So I'm just going to let you have just a little bit of me because I'm sure that you think I'm so pitiful. I'm here to wake you up from that sleep if you're in it. Because Plan A is the only plan that God is working on. Because it says in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, He picked you out before the foundations of the world in Christ for Himself in love that you might live before Him as a maturing son. That's what the Word of God says. How many of you know He picked you out before the foundations of the world? That means section one. I'm going to call you section one. That means before there was the devil. Section two, that means before there was the fall. Section three, that means before all your foolishness. That means before any trauma. Section four, any rejection, any abuse, anything that's happened to you or happened through you. Anybody in here had sin happen through you? Come on, I'm trying to find my people. Honk, honk. Before. You have an eternal past in Christ, and it will swallow up your past here on the earth. Swallowed. Not denied. Swallowed. Because you have a past in Christ. Before the foundations of the world, He chose you out. Is He our sovereign God? Yes, He is. That means He knew every bit of your foolishness. So just let me check and see. Are there any former fools here today? I need to know if my people are here. Any former fools in this house? Well, let me tell you what. Your foolishness is not going to cancel Plan A for you because God reserved it for you in Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for life. I thank You, Father, that You have come to this place long before today. You have literally drawn a circle around it and called it Your own. I thank You, Father, that You have a plan for this house, for these people. And I thank You, Father, for the privilege and the honor today to serve their life in You, to be a friend to their destiny. I thank You, Father, for their pastors. I bless them. I release life in them, Father. Over their children, over everything that concerns them. And I thank You for what You're doing here today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Plan A is still on. So what did it say that God had always wanted before the foundations of the world, that He wanted the real you, the one that He made, the one that He made? That's the new you, the real you. So did it say that God, before the foundations of the world, chose you out so that you could be a nice, well-behaved Christian? I just want to see. Is that what it said? For all of you that are not nice and well-behaved, hey, that's good news. Come on, I'm going to help somebody. Honk, honk, come on. How many of you are glad, like me, to find out that the entire goal of Christianity isn't for you to be a nice, well-behaved person? Okay, thank you, Jesus. Well, we're already making progress right here. Thank you, Jesus. That's not the goal. All right, that's not the goal. What's the goal is to be sons to Him. So, pop quiz, what is it that God has always wanted? Sons. But let's make it personal. Who has God always wanted? You. He already has Jesus, my friends. Jesus came so He could have you. The real you. Not the sad, pitiful you. I'm going to help somebody. Not the stupid you. Nobody. Honk, honk. I'm going to find somebody. Huh? How many of you glad to know your stupid self does not cancel out your son self? Thank you, my friend on the back row. Thank you. Oh, that's good news. Your stupid self. I love this. I'm getting saved right now. Your stupid self does not cancel out your son self. Huh? Oh, yes, it's going to be good. I best get to my notes. So, there's a life that God has for you. Listen to me carefully. I don't want the life that I could have had if my father had not abused me from the time that I was 5 until I was 16. My father sexually abused me almost every day from the time I was 5 until I was about 15 or 16 years old. How many of you know, I don't want the life I could have had if I had not been abused. I want the life that was written down over me in Christ before the foundations of the world. And nothing can stop me from having that life unless I just decide I don't want it. Unless I just decide I'm not interested. There is a life, my friends, that you can have no matter what has come against you. God has invited you and I. This is what it really means to be a Christian. God has said, this is what He said to me 31 years ago when I came back to the Lord after living 10 years as a crazy drunk woman. This is what God said to me, is Nancy. Come and live like me. That is what Christianity is, my friends. It's an invitation to you and I to come and live just like our Father. That's why Jesus came, so that you could share in His life in spirit, so that you could live like them. How many of you have ever gotten tired of trying to live a nice Christian life? Oh, yeah, that'll wear you out right there. That will break you down like a Tinker Toy. Anybody in here old enough to remember Tinker Toys? I just like, thank you. Break you down like a Tinker Toy trying to live this Christian life. Trying to be good enough. Trying to keep it all together. People, I can't keep it all together. Those 3 brain cells that I did not kill in the 10 years that I was a drunk, how many of you know? Anybody else glad to know that your IQ will not keep you out of your destiny? Oh, yeah, honk, honk, we got a lot of people on the bus now. Come on, everybody. Section 1-4, I'm just calling you in. Listen, my job description is Luke 1:17. To make ready, my last name is McCready, to make ready a people in spirit for the Lord. This is why I cannot help your flesh. I cannot help your natural stuff. I cannot help prop up something that God's trying to let go down, because He called you to be way more than what you can make yourself or what I can make myself. Well, thank you. Well, oh, great mighty woman of God, thank you so much. Was there like a secret dog whistle that I blew that said I need water? Wow, thank you. Let me just honor her service. That is awesome. Thank you. So it's so important that we understand what He's doing. All right, so now are you with me? Do I have a few of you on the bus with me now? Thank you, Jesus. And the rest of you, I'm willing to wait on you. Oh, I'm willing to wait. So if we don't know what God wants, we will not understand His ways. If we don't understand what He wants, what's always been in His heart, we will not understand the ways that He is dealing with us. I can remember saying to the Lord many years ago, look, I'm sober, I'm in the ministry. I mean, come on, what else is it that you want? He said, I want you, Nancy. See, I was a little more comfortable working for Him than being with Him. And when I realized He wanted me, I began to understand His ways a little bit better. He's not after sweet, well-behaved people. He's after sons made in the image of Jesus. It's a lie that's infiltrated the church that there was only one who was perfect. And of course, God knows that I'm only human. And God knows I surely can't live like Christ. How many of you know that is a lie? The entire reason that Jesus came was so that there could be many like Him. And I'm here to break that lie over as many churches as I possibly can. To begin to literally release the power of what is in the Father's heart for each and every person who has called upon the name of Jesus. Galatians 4:4-7 says that when Jesus came in the fullness of time, it says that he was born of a woman. He came and fulfilled the law. There are no loopholes in your salvation, my friends. Everything has been done perfectly. Don't try to add to it nor take away. It is all been accomplished because of Jesus. And it says then that once he had finished his work, and when he sat down, we know that God was satisfied with what his son Jesus did, because then they poured out the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 4:4-7 says, here is why he came, was so that the Holy Spirit could be poured into you, so that he could confer sonship upon you and me, so that we could cry out, what? Abba, Father. Me, you, crying out. I don't have to talk to anybody else to get to the Father. Jesus says, get in there, Nancy, get in there. I made a way for you. Why is your head hanging so low? Why are you trying so hard? Get in there with the Father. Go the way that I have given you. Because everything I've done is so that there can be many sons of glory, Hebrews 2:9-10. You are the sons of the living God. You're the only free people on the face of the earth. Don't go envying sinners because you think they're freer than you. I don't know if y'all have ever had a season like that. I'm gonna honk my horn. There was a season where I was kind of envying sinners because they just looked like they could just do almost anything they wanted. I know nobody's gonna raise their hand on this one. I'll raise it for you. I was like, wow, look at them. They just like go out on the weekend, do whatever they want. We got to go to church. See, I know nobody knows what I'm talking about, but just take notes for a friend, because I'm sure you have a friend. Oh, yeah, there came a season in my life I'm like, just don't know if I can get excited about reading my Bible. Nobody? No, thank you. I just want to say thank you, section one. Thank you. And guess what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, good, because you ain't supposed to be excited about that. That's not why I saved you. Ooh, I said, really? Tell me more. Now, do you think he was saying that it's not important to be in church? No, that's not what he said. What he was telling me is don't try to go back and look at certain things to try to generate excitement within yourself, because how many of you know it doesn't work? Huh? How many of you know it doesn't work? You're like, yeah, I should be excited. Yeah, I should be excited. It's like, let me tell you what. He. It's him, my friends. It's him. Nothing else moves me these days but him. So, you know, if you're not excited about certain things, I'm here to tell you, you could be in a great work of God. If certain things that once excited you, it's beginning to wane, it's beginning to lose, I'm telling you, you're in a shift. And God is getting ready to shift you into deeper places with him. Now, I've just shared these scriptures with you about that we are sons. Galatians 3:26 says we are all sons by faith in Jesus Christ. So this is why I can say to you, my friends, you don't just do the will of God, you are the will of God. Many people are trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. How many doers in here? Honk, honk. I was a doer. Just give me the list. God, please just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And he would frustrate me. He would frustrate me because I could not figure out what to do. And he was giving me an assignment to just be. Now, how many of you know that could frustrate you right before it frees you? Frustration, then freedom. I just want to help somebody. If you're frustrated today, you're in a great move of God. You don't just do the will of God. You are the will of God. You are his delight. You are his pleasure. You're who he wanted. How many of you know God can do everything all by himself? As a matter of fact, he has.
He has chosen that he would like to move as one with you, just like he did with Jesus. Because Romans 8:29 tells me and tells you that Jesus was the first of many brethren. Listen carefully. He was never meant to be the only one. He is the first of many brethren. You know what this word brethren means? This word is the Adolphus word in the Greek. It means those born of the same womb and those who have the same calling. Jesus was to be the first of many. I'm just hoping there's going to be some many here. You don't just do the will of God, you are the will of God. This is why the cross was necessary, because God had to send his son Jesus so that Jesus, literally, he didn't just die for you, my friends, he died as you. He did not just die for you, he died as you. He did not just die for you, he died as you. The old you, who was the old creation made by the devil, Adam, and Eve. You were chosen out before the foundations of the world in Christ, who is the creation of God himself. And Jesus had to come and put everything of the old down so that in his resurrection, the whole new breed of sons could come forth. That, my friends, is talking about you. People say, oh, well, you know, Nancy, that was in Bible times. I say, well, you know what? We still live in Bible times. We still live in Bible times. You and I are in this word. Jesus has not yet returned. So how many of you know? We're still living in Bible times. It's not over until it's over. So everything was to bring you back into plan A, which is the dream of God. If you become the dream of God, you will be a nightmare to the enemy. I don't know about you, but I take pleasure in that. If you've ever had the enemy torture you, haunt you, literally try to run you, try to decimate you, try to devastate you, try to literally cause you to be destroyed, to be robbed from, and to be killed. How many of you know somebody in here is going to have to get a little bit of taste of war inside of your spirit? Amen? Come on, somebody's going to have to decide, I think I might just enjoy pleasing my father, and I just might enjoy just bringing it to the devil just a little bit. I will be, as I live to my father, I'm not devil conscious, but I understand that the ramifications of when I live unto my father, the result is that the enemy gets whipped. And somebody needs to enjoy that just a little bit. Come on, you've got to have a place in you that begins to foster the appetite to be the warrior sons that you're called to be. Not fighting and boxing the air. Anybody in here ever felt like you were boxing the air? Anybody in here ever thought, my God, I'm just throwing punches. I'm just like swatting flies. Anybody else? I don't really know what I'm supposed to be hitting, but you know. Well, let me tell you, when God gets done with you, you will land a punch. You will understand what it is that's been coming at you. You will begin to get an understanding of the battle that may be going on. The Bible says there is a battle that is raging within my members. How many of you know this is the present day battleground right here? And there is war going on inside of me. Now listen to me carefully. It's not me against me. It's not me against God. It's not me against the world. It is flesh that wars against spirit. We have to get clear on what's going on. Anybody else in here ever feel like there's more people living inside of you than just you? Let me just see. Oh, yeah. See, but you're not crazy. You are called. You are not crazy, you are called. But let me tell you what, when God starts to work inside a son, you may think, I think I might be crazy. I mean, is it leaking? You think anybody can tell? Can anybody tell? Because I think I might be just about to lose my mind. But now I got to get dressed and go to church and act like everything's fine. How many of you know? Holy Spirit, listen to me. Listen. Holy Spirit not going to help you do that. Holy Spirit, he's not going to help your flesh. Hold on. Oh, this is good news. Nobody's excited. Nobody clapping. Oh, Holy Spirit raises the sons of God. How many of you think Holy Spirit did a good job raising Jesus? Hey, Luke. Missed you yesterday. I'm so glad to see you. Saw you Friday, but missed you yesterday. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Come on now. God is at work. Holy Spirit will not help your flesh. Jesus. I don't care how good looking it is. I'm from South Louisiana. We say good looking. Huh? You know, Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of... Thank you for preaching with me today. Good is on the same tree as evil. Mm-hmm. See, somebody might have told you that the whole point of the gospel was you to go from being a bad person to a good person. No. It's to go from being dead to being alive. The other tree was called the tree of life. Life. Life, not loser. Life. The tree of life. His name is Jesus Christ. It was always God's plan that we would eat from the tree of the Son so that His life could come inside our spirit, so that we would come alive to God and we would live like Him, be an expression of Him. If somebody sees me, they could see my Father. If somebody sees me, they could see Him. They could see His goodness. They can see how He lives. They can see His goodness. Not my goodness trying to be good. When Adam and Eve walked in the garden, they were clothed in the glory of God. They did not choose to be sons of God. They decided they'd rather be God than be sons to God. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the glory departed. But somebody help me. Where was the glory always meant to go? Colossians 1, 26 through 28. Where was the glory always meant to be? Somebody help me, come on. In you, Christ in me, the hope of. Thank you. Section 1. Y'all about to win some candy at Children's Church. Goodness. Yes. Where was the glory always meant to go? In us. In you. Christ in you. And that's why they guarded the way to the tree. The very last verses of Genesis 3 says, God did not kick them out of the garden to punish them. He kicked them out of the garden to protect them. And it says, then He put flaming swords and angels, and He said, we must guard the way back to the tree of life, the cross of Jesus. The tree of life, my friends. It's not just a tree of death. It's the tree of life. The power of the cross of Jesus Christ working in you. Christ in me. There is a me and there is a you. And He wants you to get up and to live with Him. This is what Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I pray that they will be one with you just like I am one with you. And then the world will come to know that I am the one who you sent. Jesus died, rose again, ascended, and is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, so that you can live in deep oneness with your Father. Hell really hopes you don't hear this. Hell really hopes if you hear it that you don't believe it. Hell really hopes that if you hear it and you believe it, that you will be unwilling to pay the price to go. Which basically, my friends, to pay the price is pretty much what you're giving up is hell. Write it down. It's an amazing magic, an amazing voodoo that the enemy works upon the church, that she would think that death is actually life. And I'm here to break, by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, any spell or any residue of that spell that might be upon you, that you would ever think that going with God is going to be dull, boring, and full of death. No, that would be going with the enemy. Going with God is life. He is life. He is life. So there's a big shift that's already been happening. I'm just here to confirm, I'm sure, what your pastor has already been saying. There's a big shift coming here. You're stepping into your future. Because you have a Father, sons, you have a future. He is preparing you for that. So there is an unknown to you, listen to me carefully, that knows you very well. How many of you are maybe sometimes confused about what your future looks like? You're wondering, I wonder what it's going to be. I wonder, listen, there is an unknown to you that knows you very well. And it's saying, come on, step into your future. Step in. Come on. It knows you well. It's been waiting for you from before the foundations of the world. And that shift is going to require that you're going to have to say what God says. You're going to have to do what God is doing by the power of Holy Spirit. Remember, you said he did a good job raising Jesus. So how many of you know that means he'll do a good job raising you? You don't have to raise yourself. You don't have to. Anybody in here like me, your first raising almost killed you? First raising almost killed you, almost put you down. Well, let me tell you, now you shall be raised by the same one who raised Jesus. Holy Spirit will do everything for you, but he waits for you to choose him over your own flesh, over your own independence, over your own stuff. He waits for you to say, Holy Spirit, you do it. Holy Spirit, raise me into who the Father made me to be before the foundations of the world. This happened to Peter in the scripture. Peter was in a magnificent shift. He was on a roof one day and God lowered down a sheet. Must have been a sheet from South Louisiana. I think it had some crawfish up in it. Hallelujah. Whoo, I'm just right now. It would be so awesome to be in Iowa and be able to just have some crawfish. But there was this sheet that was lowered down. Oh, it says there were creepy crawly things all up in there. And Peter's like, oh, listen, now watch. The Lord said, you know, don't call common what I've called holy. Peter said, oh, Lord, I could never. See, his own excellence was fighting the new move of God. Peter's like, oh, no, we don't eat that kind of stuff. Here's what the scripture says in Acts. It says that the voice, capital V, the voice said again, do not call common what I call holy. If you're still calling yourself a sinner, I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to cut that out. You are born again. You are a saint of the living God. You have been made perfect as he is perfect in spirit. Don't start thinking about your behavior and about your feelings and about all that. I'm talking to you as who you are in the spirit. I'm not talking to your head. I'm talking to who you are in the spirit. I cannot equip sinners for the work of the ministry. I have to equip. I'm glad you said it. Don't forget it. You have to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You have to call saints to choose to be a disciple. And a disciple is one who follows the Son so that they can too become a son. Discipleship is sonship. So if you're calling yourself common, there's a shift coming. And you're going to have to call yourself what he calls you. He calls you a holy nation. He calls you a royal priesthood. Male and female both. It's just like men have to get used to being a bride. Does that ever bother any men? And like, really? I don't know if I really want to do that. And women have to get used to being called sons, because let me tell you what, you are spirit, you are not your body. Now some of y'all are going to be happier about this than others, I can see. I am very happy to know, thank you Jesus, with my 58-year-old self, that I am so glad to know I am not my body. Thank you God. I am a spirit. Now I am a woman, I'm not denying that I'm a woman, I'm glad for that, okay? But what I'm saying to you is that we are spirit and God uses words to encourage us to live as who we are. We are a bride to the Son. We are sons to the Father. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the three of them have owned you in a very powerful way. And they're looking for you to own them back, for you to reciprocate to them. In the scripture, there are three yokes: this yoke of sin, the yoke of the Son, and the yoke of slavery. God broke you out of the yoke of sin if you're born again. He broke you out of that yoking that you had with sin. And the only yoke that he's called you to take on in Matthew 11, 27 through 30 is come unto me, honk, honk, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, Jesus says, and take on what? My yoke. Take on the yoke of the Son. He says, now learn of me. Some of y'all are going to be so glad to know. Ooh, you can stop taking Christian lessons from the devil. Because he will try to have you being nice and sweet. Anybody in here ready to be delivered from being nice and sweet? Okay. Thank you. I'll take 1 or 100. I'll take 1. He said, you take on my yoke, the yoke of the Son. You learn of me from me. And I will give you rest into your soul. I will give you relief in your soul if you take on the yoke of the Son. But here's what a lot of Christians have done is they've been broke from the yoke of sin and they're out wandering around. They have not yet taken on the yoke of the Son, and it shows. And the Bible says that when we do not take on the yoke of the Son, we wander in the wilderness like open prey for the enemy. Because if you take on the yoke of the Son, let me tell you something. Holy Spirit's not going to lose track of you. He's not going to lose you. He might bring you through the wilderness, but he's not going to leave you in the wilderness. But there's this other yoke in there. If we don't take on this yoke of sons, if we don't live in plan A, if we don't choose to call holy what God calls holy, it says in Galatians 5:1 that eventually you will put yourself back into a yoke of slavery. It says, stand in your freedom. Not wallow in your past. Stand. Stand in your freedom. And do not let anyone, nor yourself, go back and hook your own self back into the yoke of pleasing man. Don't let anyone or anything or your own self let you go back and put yourself in a yoke of slavery because you have been set free in Christ. Let me tell you what, there's some tremendous privilege and a lot of responsibility if you plan on living free. If you're going to stay in the yoke of the Son, that means that I shared this with the leadership. Like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11-13. He said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I behaved like a child. I reasoned like a child. He says, but now that I am a man, I'm going to have to put away childish things. You know what those words put away means in the Greek? Put away means, listen, I'm going to have to fire them. I'm going to have to fire some of those old ways. I no longer need their services. I need to terminate them. So I don't think that I would be taking undue freedom with the word if I said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. But now that I am the new man, but now that I am who God made me to be, I and I alone can put away childish things. How many of you know nobody's going to make you do it? How many of y'all like me, if somebody tries to make me do something, I want to do it worse? Anybody? I'm not proud of that. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just telling. So I have to really let the Spirit lead me because there comes a point where I'm asking myself, I wonder why anybody's having to make me do anything. I'm free. How come I'm not doing that myself? Somebody says, you know, you need to put that away. I'm like, really? Shut up. You can edit that. You can say it. Leave me alone. Quit nagging me. Anybody? This look good. Honk, honk. Wait a minute. I'm free. Why am I not putting those things away? There came a season in my life where I had to say, boys, the gig is up. I no longer need your services. I don't need you to protect me. You know who my boys were? The demonic that I had let into my life when I was a young girl. When I was living in the heat of the abuse of my dad. When I saw that no adults were going to do what they were supposed to do, nobody was going to protect me, nobody's going to take care of me, nobody's going to do what they're supposed to do, all these idiots around here, nobody? All these idiots around here, they don't know what to do, so guess who I nominated? Me. I know what to do. If anything's going to get done right, oh, I'm just waiting for my people. I'm going to have to do it myself, obviously, because nobody else around here knows exactly how to do it right, only me. How'd you like to be married to that? Come on, I'm going to help some men right now. How'd you like to be married to that? Like, oh, Lord Jesus, no, no. Whoa, deep within me, deep down in. Guess when that was developed? When I was a child. So now that I am a man, I am the new man in spirit. The Holy Spirit said, Nancy, before you can go any further with me, you're going to have to fire them. Because in my flesh, guess what happened? The demonic was able to come in very quietly, like stealth bombers. They were able to come in, able to find places within my soul of stronghold to be able to launch attack whenever things got under pressure. Anybody else? And only I could say, I invited you in, and I'm telling you today, you're going to have to get out. I don't need you anymore. Why did I not need them anymore? Because I have a Father. I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. You see, this has to get real. This cannot be theory just in church. Because how many of you know after church today, guess where you're going? Home. H-O-M-E. Anybody else? You're going to have to go home, people. You're going home to the private places where you live. The anointing lifts. Anybody know what I'm saying? Yeah, because I'm not going to talk like this at the airport today. I just wanted y'all to know. At the airport, I'm just going to look like an innocent Starbucks drinker. I'm just going to look like, you know, a 58-year-old woman just walking through the airport, pulling my luggage. But how many of you know everything I'm telling you is still going to be true? Everything I'm saying to you is still going to be true. And I have to let the Holy Spirit lead me through the airport and lead me to drive home from Houston to Sealy, Texas, to welcome my husband and to be with him and to live out my every single day life. There was a time when I used to say to God, oh, send me to the nations, but please don't make me go home. It's easier to go out and preach to people. They want to hear what you have to say. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? And then you go home. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. I go places, they have a hospitality basket for me waiting in the hotel. When I get home, they say, when is dinner? I'm going to help somebody right now. Home, the pressing place of God. Oh, he has set me free at home. I can't wait to get home today. It's a miracle. You have no idea. Home has never been the place of refuge. Never the place of shelter. I'd rather spend all my days out in public because I can work those people. Guess what? I get home and guess what? I cannot work those people at my house. How many of y'all would like to say thank God for Wynn McCrady, my very awesome husband of 33 years who I have not been able to control? Hallelujah. Ooh. He hath delivered me. I thank God today for my husband. I thank God today for a man who said, if you try to work me one more time. What? Me? Not little old me. Anybody? Come on now. But now, to be delivered in the private place. Because today, and I hope in the future, I am not here for your public image. I'm here for the freedom of your private reality. Because that's what God cares about. That's where God is at. There is a shift. There is a fresh move coming to this house. And with every fresh move of God, it will require fresh loyalty to God. So however loyal you've been to God in the past, my friends, mwah, kiss it goodbye. And in this new season, God is going to show you things. He's going to call you up to things. He's going to reveal things to you. And you get to make the decision again to say, Father, I'm still going with you. I didn't know this was going to be in the travel brochure, but I'm going with you. Because there is an unknown to you that knows you very well. You're in a shift. You're in a season where God is working. But there comes a moment, as I get ready to close, there comes a moment where you and I have to accept what it is that God is saying to us. He will never do anything against your will. It was one of the first things I learned to love about him. As someone who was violently acted upon day in and day out, to meet the living God and have him not violate my will was so powerful. He doesn't make people do what they're supposed to do. If you're praying to God that he needs to make your spouse do what they're supposed to do, he's not going to do it. Lord Jesus, thank you. He's not going to do it. But if you say, Lord, do in me what you want to do, he says, all right now. It's on now. I can do something. There comes a point where you and I have to make our acceptance speech. You know, whenever there's a political election, there's always a winner and a loser. And whenever there is an election, someone is chosen. The person who is elected, the person who is chosen, has to do what? Step forward and make an acceptance speech. Now listen to me. You didn't choose him. He chose you. John 15:6. You've been elected in Christ before the foundations of the world. You get to decide today or at home in private. I don't need you to make me successful. I don't need you to respond. I don't need you to do anything. Your personal response to him is what will bring change to your life. But if you decide to make an acceptance speech and to say, I accept that I was chosen in Christ before the foundations of the world. I accept, I step forward, Father, and I agree that you picked me, you elected me, you chose me out in Christ for yourself. And I choose now to make my acceptance speech, and I will, Father, live as a son unto you. Now let me tell you what the best part about being elected and chosen by God is. You did not have to campaign to get his attention. You did not have to campaign against your neighbor. Like, God, don't be picking Becky, pick me. You know Becky, you know, da, 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 da. You know, you don't want Becky, pick me. Pick me, pick me. Didn't have to do that. But here's the best part. Oh, I love this part. I love this part. I could preach a whole message on it. Is when God elected you, nobody else got a vote. Oh, I just love that. I'm going to say it again. Nobody else got a vote in your election. God didn't call up your mama, your daddy, nobody, and say, do you think I should choose them? He called nobody but himself. And he said, I want you, and I'm choosing you for me. And when you step forward, you can step forward in the confidence of God, and you can say, I make my acceptance speech, and I accept that he wants me. I accept that he loves me and I do not have to earn it. I accept that plan A is still on. I accept that I will live as the will of God. I will be his pleasure and his delight. When you step forward, listen to me, the enemy who will not make a concession speech until you make an acceptance speech. If you continue to grovel, if you continue to live low, the enemy will keep acting like he's the winner. And he'll squat all over your territory. This house is getting ready to take territory. This house is getting ready to see the kingdom of God in the spirits of men and women, youth and children. It's going to happen. I don't have time to go into it, but I'm telling you, major, major thing. But listen to me carefully, duck and roll. Don't forget it. Because he's getting a people ready in spirit for himself. But somebody has to make an acceptance speech. And if there's one of you or 100, I'd just like to give somebody the opportunity to stand up right now and say, I accept who God has made me to be. I will take on the yoke of the Son. I will go his way. You see, what you just witnessed was the great corporate sun rising, the corporate sun of Jesus. But it requires every individual member to choose to do that. Is that correct? Every person gets to decide, but there is a moment. The conductor, the Father, he's tapping, and every instrument of righteousness who's been finely tuned in private, I'm prophesying over you right now. He's getting ready to do things in you privately. You know, when a great symphony of sons gets together, guess what has to happen? They've all been individually in their own practice room letting God fine-tune them and get them delivered so that they can come now and take their place in a symphony of sons, because there is a sound about to come out from this place. His goodness is getting ready to increase your greatness. And that word greatness in Psalm 71:21 means he's getting ready to increase your sound. He's getting ready to increase your influence. That word greatness means he's getting ready to increase your thickness. So if you've been thin-skinned, I got good news for you. You're getting ready to be thick in the Lord. It means that his greatness in you is about to break out because the sons look like the Father. His goodness is going to increase your greatness. There's a sound. I heard it this morning in worship. Getting ready to come up from this place. But each one has to let the Holy Spirit fine-tune you, work in you personally. It's a good thing, my friends. If it wasn't so good, I wouldn't be inviting everybody over. Come on. Come on. That future is telling you, come on. His presence is getting ready to come in ways you and I have never known, the God who is about to arrive. And that conductor, the Father, at a moment's notice, he'll be able to tap the conductor's stand. Every son comes to attention. And you, my friends, are the instruments of righteousness. Listen to me carefully. You are his will, and you are his weapon. And when you come to attention, there's getting ready to be a sound. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, it's a sound such as the heathen world has never heard. It's going out to the nations from this place. I'm honored to be with you. I'm honored that God would let me come to such a place and to such a people. So raise your hand and we'll pray. We're going to be done. In the power of Jesus' name, Father, and by the power of your cross, I release, Father, your power inside of them, Father. I'm not looking for an outward show right now, Father, but for an inward work that you are doing, Father. I thank you that the cross is in the field and the cross will win this field. I thank you that they're running out of their grave. Could you begin to play that song that I had y'all prepare? Thank you for being ready to help me today. I want you to listen to this song. Just listen. Close your eyes. Listen. And I'm telling you, you're about to run out of whatever grave that you have known. Turn it up. Turn it up. Hallelujah.
Who could carry that kind of weight?
Now listen.
It was my turn.
It was my shame.
Till I met you.
Come on. Hallelujah.
I was breathing but not alive.
Come on. You not believe in a lie anymore.
All my failures I tried to hide.
Come on now.
It was my turn.
Yeah. Come on.
Till I met you.
Up your voice.
He called my name.
Woo! He called you by name.
And I ran
out of that grave. Come on. Woo! Come on, son. Come on, son. Woo! Hey, Joe. Joe, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, Greg. Woo! Yes.
Your glorious day.
It's a great day. Come on, Crossroads. Presence. They will win lives. They will win this city. They will win this state. I thank you, Father, for it. It's a word that you wrote down before the foundations of the world. I pull it in, Father, and I say, let it be. Make ready a people for yourself, Father, in spirit. I give them to you. And I thank you that as they go home, the anointing will not lift. It'll go deep within, Father, and you'll serve them in the middle of the night. You're going to serve them when they wake up tomorrow. You're the greatest servant of all time. We thank you, we praise you, and we bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you.